Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today. I'm in Southern Arizona. Sorry, I don't even know where I am. And it's a gorgeous day, and I'm outside sitting among the saguaro cactuses. And these are these really huge cactuses that look like people with arms up, and each one of them having a very different personality. And it's a nice, clear, sunny day, about 85 degrees. So it's a wonderful time to be talking on the phone with all of you around the world. This theme that we're talking about over these last few interviews has been, is there a Reiki movement in the world? And if so, what does this look like? And can we have an effect on the society that we live in? And is there something that we can do individually to create a more visible movement, or is that even what is maybe appropriate, or what is maybe what we'd like to do, because we don't really know the ramifications of all these things. And last week, we had Oliver Klatt on from Germany, and for him, he wouldn't call this a Reiki movement. He would call it a connection and a gathering of people, and more in the sense of a spiritual connection that we become aware of and then nurture among ourselves. And today I have with me Pamela Miles. She's from New York City, and those of you who have looked through the archives or have been with us from the very beginning, you will know that you had a great opportunity to listen to two interviews with Pamela Miles, one right after the other, around public practice. And this is Pamela's great passion, and one of the reasons why I asked her on the show again, because she's been having a global eye on things, looking at this maybe Reiki movement from a very different perspective, possibly. So welcome to the show, Pamela.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. It's always wonderful to chat with you.
And great for me to chat with you. Although, I have to say chat isn't maybe the word I'd use, but an invigorating conversation. So, Pamela, of course, we're just going to hop right in. And do you see, let's see, how many years have you had Reiki or been involved in Reiki?
I learned first degree in 1986.
Yeah.
So that's 22 years.
Yeah, that's a while. And definitely in the world, you're one of our elders. So I'm just wondering, have you seen or felt inside your own practice a development process as Reiki has spread from small pockets of people to, I would say, really a global situation where there are millions of people practicing Reiki of some kind or another?
Well, in that sense, I would agree with what Oliver said, that it's not so much a movement as a matter of people connecting, connecting to themselves, because I see Reiki as a spiritual healing practice, and that's what happens when we practice, we become more deeply connected to ourselves and to that place deep within ourselves where we are not just connected with one another and everything else, but where we are one.
Mm-hmm.
So moving us into embodying both our infinity and our very finite individuality simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And a movement to me implies something that is almost more orchestrated, you know, like a grassroots movement. People are activists. They're getting together. They're getting organized. And I don't see that so much. I see the Reiki community, the global community, as being extremely diverse. But I do see people who practice, who, you know, are really engaged in their self, their daily self-practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, embodying this inner connection and moving away from the dogmatism of Reiki has to be like this, or you have to practice like that, or you have to put your hands here, you know, moving away from a focus on the differences within our very diverse community into a focus on what we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a good thing.
Yes, I think so. And I guess, you know, for me, because of where I am in my own practice, there is an interesting balance. The title, actually, of the show is Balancing Form and Essence. And it's like, well, I don't want to give up the form because that's what brought me here, but at the same time, I don't want to forget the essence of why I'm doing it, which is to connect. So if the form prevents me from connection, then I have to really look at that. Like, am I carrying form too far? And if I, you know, let go of my form so much that I can't find it anymore, then I feel like I'm on the other end of the balance scale. So it's an interesting process of just being on the teeter-totter.
Well, I think that's beautifully expressed, Phyllis, and that is what practice is. You know, we don't get to say, okay, been there, done that. I know the answer to that question. It's ongoing. It's relentless. It's never ending. It's an intense engagement that we at the same time hold lightly because it's the source of our joy.
Right. Well, you know, a question comes up for me. You're being what I would say a practitioner of Reiki, meaning that you do a lot of public practice, you treat people and you're right out there with the medical community and so on. And, you know, in the conversations that I've had with people, a lot of people want to have the definitive answer for, like, how do you treat cancer patients or how do you treat people with asthma? And one of the things that what you just said calls to me is that every case is different, and so I don't get to kind of subside into a kind of pat answer, but I get to say, well, let's look at the situation at hand, see what the factors are, and see what happens with Reiki, and it's always different.
That's why I like to keep reiterating to my students and when I'm interviewed in the media that Reiki doesn't address symptoms or conditions. Rather, Reiki balances people. And it balances individuals at that moment. So this Reiki treatment that I'm having right now may be quite different from one I had a couple weeks ago or one that I'll have later on tonight when I'm going to bed.
Right.
And that's tricky for the public to grasp and hold on to. You know, they hear it and they like it, but the whole healthcare perspective is of treating disease. We don't have a healthcare system. We have a disease management system.
Right.
So I find that in bringing Reiki into mainstream medicine, and of course I want to bring Reiki intact with its traditional spiritual values, that's something that I just have to keep, you know, gently reminding people of, but also being mindful that, know, people who have certain conditions tend to have some similar experiences, and so we can address that and just remember that most people are suffering from pain and anxiety.
Right.
Those are two things, fortunately, that the research does, you know, is beginning to support Reiki's usefulness for.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because this movement, well, should I say the word movement? This flow, which is also a movement, of Reiki coming from what I would call a very private practice into the public practice of, should I say, medical institutions like hospitals, hospice, nursing homes, extended care facilities, and so on, that these places, on one hand, want to have the safety of what we would call a generalized answer or, you know, response that Reiki might give. And at the same time, I think that each one of the individuals would admit that even medication creates an individual response.
Yeah, so, doctors are very aware that they cannot predict how any one individual will respond to the standard dosage of a medication that's been well tested.
Yeah, so I find that really interesting that we could be on the leading edge of shifting the way that I hope this isn't taken with too much energy, the medical establishment and their philosophy of care. I would like to think that we're on the leading edge of shifting that into individualism.
I completely agree with you, and that's been an important part of why I've been a champion of Reiki in medicine.
Right. Well, good. Well, we'll talk about this and other really great questions for the station break. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Have you heard of resonance repatterning? Your own vibrating patterns of energy affect everything in your life. Your habits, actions, thoughts, how you feel, the kind of people and jobs you attract or don't attract. Join Chloe Faith Wordsworth every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy and for a whole new understanding of yourself and the self-healing that is possible through resonance repatterning. Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy is heard each week on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking for more than just pop culture astrology? Do you have questions about astrology and what it's all about? Join us every week for Sirius Star Talk, an inside look at the field of astrology and how it influences our world. Host Norma Jean Ream wants to create a voice for intelligent astrology. We'll explore current events through the lens of astrology with some of today's most knowledgeable astrologers. You'll get great information about politics, economics, business, and social trends. Sirius Star Talk can be heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network. Listen to the intelligent side of astrology.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, oh! There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-4255. 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Pamela Miles from New York City. She and I are waxing on about public practice and shifting the philosophy of the medical establishment to individual practice and individual care, and which is one of my great passions. And Pamela, one of the questions that I came up with when I was thinking about your interview was this one, which I really want to hear the answer to. What are your dreams for this practice on a global scale?
My dream is really expansive and very simple. I dream that a very simple, thoughtful approach to Reiki will be available to the mainstream public around the world. An approach that is not specific to practice style or hand placements or which translation of the precepts is used, but an approach that has space for the beautiful diversity that we see in this world and is connected to the essence very much as you've entitled your show, Balancing Form and Essence. So my dream is that what I often call the Reiki Wars will cease, and that throughout the global Reiki community, practitioners will practice Reiki on themselves daily with love and commitment and come to cherish our practice so much that out of that we will cherish one another.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a beautiful dream. I would like that to come true. And I think that we actually are on the way. And I feel that if we can, I always have this feeling that we are in some way a little, a little example of our entire global society. And if we could do it in our little world, perhaps this will spread out and be possible in a larger scope. I mean, do you ever go there?
I'm not entirely sure where you're pointing me.
Well, okay. So if the world, if our experiences or who we are as human beings are holographic, if we as a Reiki community find a way to exist peacefully and respectfully with each other, then is that not also possible in the greater global community?
Absolutely. You know, as I understand it, our own daily self-practice is the beginning of creating peace in the world. It is our primary social work. You know, we have to drop the anchor first within ourselves. And from that, what we're able to create in our lives, whether we are professional Reiki practitioners or whatever our work is in the world, if we do that right effort of that self-treatment every day, we will come to live with greater harmony. It has to be, because this practice works. And out of that, we absolutely affect people around us. I mean, we see this all the time. We see how easy it is to get sucked into somebody's negativity, but we also see how easily we can be uplifted by a lovely smile or somebody stepping back and letting us go through the door first.
For sure. And that is one of the first steps of creating connection between people. We don't even have to know their names, as we have seen through our Reiki practice. We can just lay our hands on people and somehow that connection goes deeper than what we could ever imagine.
Or even in distant healing, I remember a physician that I had trained some years back in first degree practice, and he came back for a second degree class, and after doing a distant healing for someone he didn't know, he was stunned by how intimate the experience was, by how connected he felt.
Right.
And it helped him to realize that we don't feel connected through details. You know, the details are kind of the fun, the diversity, the entertainment, but the connection is subtle and within.
Well, I totally agree, and it's amazing that sometimes I get a little frustrated myself about how little progress there seems to be, and I'm just wondering if this is just my own perspective, or do you ever have these frustrations?
Oh, I never feel frustrated.
Well,
you know, I have stepped away, in my mind, stepped away from the work that I'm doing so many times. I think we have to give ourselves that room. You know, we step back internally, we step back into ourselves, we drop into our practice, and then we wait. And, you know, it's a love affair we have with Reiki. And just like, you know, when the beloved withdraws, then the lover comes after. And so it's played out like that for me very much in terms of being a public Reiki figure, which has never been something I wanted. And in terms of being in medicine, which was also not something that I went after. It was something that opened up for me and that I was invited into.
Well, you know, it's been extremely interesting the last days. I've been with a group of people, and we've been talking a lot about the image that Joseph Campbell has held all these years and still holds even after his death of the hero's journey. And I don't want to go into the attitude of gender. This is not about gender as far as I'm concerned, but about an archetype of this hero where, you know, in Reiki we find our calling, whatever that calling is. And it's interesting how the calling happens and then how we respond to it. And then eventually where we find ourselves in the forest, you know, of the unknown. And meeting our gatekeepers, our tests, and our, you know, our challenges to pass some kind of journey that allows us to let go of our ego and to embrace a kind of understanding that we are much more than our bodies.
Yeah, I think that in terms of exploration and discovery.
Yeah. So I loved hearing this part about your calling, you know, of where you've come and how gracefully you've accepted that. And I feel like that is happening all over the world within the Reiki community. And that is so beautiful. It's like, you know, watching in the desert the cactus bloom. It's just an amazing sight. And a miracle. Not that I think that it wouldn't happen, but that such beauty can come out of what looks like a very parched environment.
Yeah, it's kind of a metaphor for the desert of the unmanifest.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the level at which we are one. And then how our individuality blossoms out of that in places where we would have never guessed it could happen.
Well, you know, I want to get back to this, combining this with the Reiki, with what I call like Reiki movement, because, you know, in the early days, and I will say this in like the late 1980s and early 1990s when there were a lot of people who wanted Reiki to become,
you know, like everybody in the world to have Reiki, so that Reiki would save the world. And that if everyone had Reiki, there would be no more war. You know, these kinds of things out there, so to make Reiki more accessible and more available to people. And I'm just wondering, have we come to a balance with that, do you think?
I think
I don't hear that so much anymore, and I'm wondering if we're actually living in it.
I think it depends upon how young the practitioner is in terms of her years with Reiki, because newly trained people share that almost evangelistic perspective, and there's still a tendency to look outside and to be naive and simplistic.
That's a very good point. I never really thought about it in that way.
And as they practice, and what I see is a difference by the time people have been practicing self-treatment every day for 10 to 12 years, and this is probably going to be disheartening to some people, but I see a real difference in how seasoned that person is, and the shift in the identification that I was talking about before. In the beginning, we identify, we're looking outside, we're looking at differences, we're locked into practice styles, you know, and details. And then after about 10 to 12 years of daily practice, something has changed. So, yes, I agree with you. The core practitioners, the ones who were starting in the late 80s and early 90s, definitely are living Reiki now. And newbies are always going to have that enthusiasm of just having fallen in love and feeling like everybody needs this.
Right. So that, I think, is kind of where this idea of the Reiki movement was born in me, and wondering if I have been in denial all these years.
Well, maybe it's a Reiki family rather than a Reiki movement.
What?
Maybe it's a Reiki family rather than a Reiki movement.
Oh, I can't wait to get back to this one. I believe it's time for a commercial break. We'll be back after this.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to find dozens of others that, despite everything, are still here today. Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover, because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for an open and honest psychic radio show? One that puts everything on the table and pushes the envelope? Are you looking for a psychic radio show that goes beyond spirituality in an entertaining and educational way? Well, check out Christina Predicts. This radio program is where the psychic meets Romper Room. In addition to Christina's readings, we'll discuss soulmates, energy, clairvoyance, feng shui, and much more. Christina Predicts is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the 7th Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Thank you.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Pamela Miles, and we're having great fun in our conversation. I hope your listeners are having great fun listening to us. We're just on the brink of asking Pamela if she has seen any trends in her 20-some years of practice, and also in her being out in the this bridging between what seems to be sometimes opposing factions, but is really, for me, two facets of a spectrum, the medical community and Reiki itself. And so I'm just wondering, Pamela, about these trends, or if there are trends.
Yeah, there are trends. One is the natural movement of Reiki to expand and to move toward areas of suffering. I see that everywhere, and I think that's really what is behind people all over the world working to bring Reiki into whatever conventional medicine and healthcare looks like in their community. And at the same time that that is happening, from our perspective, medicine is also going through changes. The increasing reliance on technology has brought the limits of technology into high contrast. But meanwhile, to get back to the idea of Reiki healing on the one hand and conventional medicine on the other, they are moving closer to one another.
Pamela,
there you are.
And I got dropped out. So I'm sorry that I didn't hear what you just said. Can you repeat it?
I basically explained to the listeners what had happened, and that we had a backup plan, and I would keep talking until you came back on.
Well, I'm back again. So about the trends.
Oh, really, what you didn't hear was I was speaking about how the increasing reliance on technology was bringing the shortcomings of technological medicine into high focus. And that this is something that physicians as well as patients are very concerned about. You know, there's a lot of doctors who are not feeling very satisfied in their medical practice. These days, because they're not able to interact with patients the way they wanted to. This is not why they went to medical school.
Right.
And so not only are we seeing movement from within the Reiki community toward bringing Reiki into conventional healthcare, but we're also seeing movement on the part of healthcare consumers, you know, the public, patients, and healthcare professionals, including physicians, to, let's say, rehumanize and re-spiritualize medicine. And for some doctors, this means, you know, for them to have a spiritual practice or to learn a spiritual healing practice like Reiki, and for others, it means accepting that patients need more than what technology can give them, and creating the space in medical institutions for patients who want to be able to make these connections. So that many, you know, there are still doctors who are poo-pooing everything. I mean, that's always going to be there, but more and more I hear patients say, you know, I told my doctor that I'm doing Reiki, and she said, if it makes you feel better, keep doing it because you're doing well. Something's helping you.
Yes.
And that's big.
That's very big. So you don't see the trend waning, but increasing probably.
absolutely increasing because medicine itself is becoming more aware of the importance of what you were saying before, holistic practice.
Uh-huh.
You know, treating people as people, not just as disease carriers. And if medicine, if the conventional paradigm can't provide the care for the person who's carrying the disease, at least they can help protect the public by creating avenues through which the public can connect with credible practitioners. Because for medicine, it's a real puzzle. How do they know who is a good Reiki professional?
Uh-huh.
You know, they're so reliant on certificates, and when they hear that, you know, you can make up your own Reiki certificate.
Right.
That really Reiki certification has no agreed upon standards. You know, it's enough to make doctors pull their hair out.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting is that in Russia, for instance, and other countries where certification is not so important, what happens is that the Reiki practitioners are seen on a scale of merit. So if they have so many people coming in saying, you know, I've had Reiki from so-and-so, then they actually extend themselves often to look for that person and find out about them and then begin to refer people. And that's happened a lot in other countries where certification is not sort of the way that people ascertain whether or not you have the right, I guess, credentials, which is kind of a roundabout way of a description. I don't know that it's very appropriate, but anyway, I find that in the States we are very into credentials.
It's interesting what you're saying, because that's really how I got into medicine. People in the hospitals heard about my work. You know, it was the beginning of the HIV epidemic here in New York, the AIDS epidemic, and people were dying and suffering horribly. And it was before AIDS had really even been very, you know, very much studied. They barely knew what it was. There was no medical treatment. They could only treat opportunistic infections. And doctors started noticing that some people were doing Reiki, and they were doing better.
Uh-huh.
Not that Reiki was curing them, but they were doing better than would be expected.
Uh-huh.
And heard of work that I was doing in the HIV community and reached out to me.
Wonderful.
But I think that what we can do is, first of all, to educate healthcare administrators that Reiki certificates are meaningless. You know, that's not something that can rely on. But that the good news is it doesn't take long to figure out who's a good Reiki practitioner. You have a conversation with the person. You listen to how they talk about what they do, how they carry themselves. You ask them how long they've been practicing. Ask them what their understanding of Reiki is and what they feel Reiki can do for patients. And you know, you can figure out pretty quickly who is credible or not. Because I think it's important to focus on credibility when we're looking at professional practice.
Mm-hmm.
People can be very effective Reiki practitioners and not be credible. And if they're practicing at home, if they're sharing Reiki with their friends and family, what difference does it make?
Uh-huh.
But if we're representing Reiki to the public, and particularly if we're carrying Reiki into conventional healthcare, it makes a huge difference that we're able to speak credibly about what we're doing and how it can serve that environment.
Well, that's really interesting, and I'm wondering, you know, if there's another trend, which is it's for the public to actually be more aware of their choices about their health care through magazines and books and their friends. I mean, on the other side, you know, I'm wondering if you see this trend happening also.
Completely. The public is looking elsewhere. they're disenchanted with the limitations of medicine. They're delighted with what medicine can do, but they're concerned about the limitations. And particularly in this economic downslide, I think people are realizing that they need to be more proactive and think in terms of a healthful lifestyle and even a healing lifestyle, and not just assume that they'll always be able to go to the doctor. And, for example, the March issue of Allure magazine, to show how Reiki is really becoming visible in the mainstream, I've been working with Donna Karen's Urban Zen Foundation. Donna Karen is a great humanist, and she created the Urban Zen Foundation with a number of very important initiatives, one of them being to change conventional health care, to humanize it and bring healing therapies such as Reiki into medicine for the benefit of the patients and staff.
Great. Well, this is really wonderful news, and we're going to be back after this word. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to enter the Psychic Cafe? Most of us believe in the healing power of meditation, but how can we fit it into our daily lives? What are our spirit guides trying to tell us? What are chakras, and what secrets do they hold in our lives? Are there really ghosts? Should we be afraid of them? These questions and more will be explored in the Psychic Cafe with host Mary Salpe, a renowned psychic and medium. Here to help you, the Psychic Cafe. Heard Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. No, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And right now I'm in attempting to balance my phone reception. So I'm hoping that we can make it through the last segment of the show without me dropping out. Pamela, thanks for being there and catching the show.
My pleasure.
And we've come up to this place of the question, well, what can we do as individuals? You know, sometimes, as with everything that goes on in the world, we feel a bit small, like, Well, when I drive along the highway, I see all the trash on the road. I just think, well, you know, is it really going to make a difference if I don't throw this Coke can out of the window, which I totally don't do. I want you to know. But, you know, and it comes down to that place of, is this, am I going to really make a difference? And I think that, you know, there's obvious ways, and I'm wondering if you have those to share and maybe some not-so-obvious ways.
Well, I am all for empowerment, Phyllis. It's really a very powerful motivation in my life, uh-huh. and the reason why I became a Reiki master, so that I could empower my clients and students in their self-healing.
Uh-huh.
And I know with every fiber of my being that there is a lot that we can do to support the natural development of Reiki as it's being introduced to mainstream medical care. And it's not going to be any surprise what I'm going to say, because it starts with a commitment to daily self-treatment.
Uh-huh.
We absolutely have to do this, and I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but in my work, you know, a lot of the Reiki mentoring that I do is with people who have had a wide range of introductions to Reiki practice, and many of them have never been told that Reiki is a practice, that the foundation is self-care.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So that's a big thrust of the mentoring that I do, is to, I hope, inspire and, at my worst, to badger people to practice on themselves. You know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers,
uh-huh.
he mentions that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become world-class at something.
That's great.
And, you know, I think that that's something that we could really contemplate, because in the West in particular, I think in Asia there's much more respect for tradition and practice, but in the West it's like, okay, I did that five times, how can I innovate? You know, how can I make this better?
Exactly.
And not the understanding that we do our practice so our practice can change us, not to change the practice. And I personally, you know, I love my practice, and I practice the way I was originally trained to the best of my memory, but I don't feel like my practice is the practice everybody should have.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel very strongly that we can't control Reiki. We need to let go of it. We need to adapt, but we also need to be mindful as we bring about this transition of bringing Reiki to the mainstream public and to mainstream medicine, so that we're really embodying the practice by practicing,
uh-huh.
and then looking to see, okay, well, where can I let go and let Reiki lead me into an area that I don't know, and where do I feel, not from my ego or, you know, a blind adherence to tradition, but, no, this is something I have to stay with.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having to negotiate these kinds of arrangements all the time as I teach Reiki in public venues. And certainly
uh-huh.
this is something that I'm contemplating a lot in teaching it in the Urban Zen Integrative Therapist training. But, you know, daily self-treatment, and at least some of it to be practiced mindfully, so that, you know, I do Reiki while I'm watching CSI, but that's not my only Reiki for that day, you know.
Right.
That my hands
right.
aren't doing anything, so I might as well put them on myself.
Right.
So
right.
practicing mindfully, contemplating our experiences,
uh-huh.
exploring our concepts about Reiki and the way we communicate Reiki
right.
and challenging ourselves, you know, using our critical thinking. The mind can't capture Reiki, but the mind is very useful when it comes to communicating with other people. So we don't want to let go of our minds.
Right. And I think one of the, to be pointed about public practice, one of the most essential conversations is to have it with your healthcare practitioners, your doctors, your dentists, your physiotherapists, your whatever, you know, whoever you're going to, because, you know, that's the first conversation I have with them. Usually they ask me, what do I do? I say, I travel a lot and I do something called Reiki. And then we talk about it and I say, and this is what I expect out of you. And sometimes they're a bit taken aback, but they also respect that. And then I get asked about a lot of procedures that they, I don't know whether they actually ask all their patients about. So it's been very interesting, and some, and it has shifted some of the practitioners that I have actually used into being more open or to being more upfront about their own commitment to what might be called complementary therapies.
I think it's very important what you're saying, and the reason why you're so effective at doing that is because you are grounded in years of your own practice, and because uh-huh. you're able to speak to these professionals with dignity and clarity, not trying to make them validate your perspective, but with the awareness that you've hired them.
Right.
They
exactly.
work for you.
And there are lots of doctors out there. I don't have to have one that will fight me all the way. That's no good for me. And when it comes to a crisis, which is when they're most useful, then, you know, I definitely don't want my family or my loved ones having to fight for me to do something that is of my nature. I want them to know what my nature is.
I agree with you. We really do need to educate our doctors and educate ourselves so that we see who is this doctor and what can we expect from this person. And that's something that I've talked about in my book, Phyllis, you know, to help people, to give them a little mentoring, how they might approach that conversation.
Right, right.
And also one of the reasons why I've put medical papers about Reiki on my website, so that the public, whether they're Reiki practitioners or patients who want to be able to access Reiki, you know, they can download these papers and give them to their doctors, because it speaks the language that the doctors find credible.
Uh-huh, right.
So, because
exactly.
doctors have to justify their decisions. You know, they may seem yeah. like they're the ones with all the power, but they are ruled by standard guidelines
right.
for medical
exactly.
practice.
Exactly. Well, before we run out of time, can you just say a little bit about your book for people who are interested?
It's called Reiki, A Comprehensive Guide, and I wrote it to help educate the public who maybe has heard of Reiki but hasn't been able to find something that speaks to them in a way that is devoid of New Age terminology and perspective.
Right.
To be a continuing practice guide to people who have learned to practice Reiki, but maybe they don't still have access to their Reiki masters.
Uh-huh.
You know, and to help people as questions come up as they continue to practice, to have a place where they can look that may, you know, be able to touch on a discussion of that question, or at least remind them that what they really need to do is just keep practicing and contemplating, and the
Great.
Understanding
Pamela,
will
I have
be there.
To interrupt you, because we're right at the end of our show. Thank you very much, and what Pamela says is true about her book, and if you would like to find it, go to the e-card. Pamela, thank you very much.
Phyllis, thank you.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, signing off for today.
hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.